Some time ago, Olga Nunez got an invitation to join an email listserv of more than 21,000 artists. The rules of the listserv are simple. Every day, one person on the list is randomly selected to write an email and send it to everyone else. So when it's your turn, what do you write? Olga Nunez knew exactly what she wanted to do, and Strange Champs asked her to read the email she sent out.
Call this number, 415-857-0589. It leads to a Google voicemail box. You can call it from anywhere. When you call, you'll be asked a question. Answer it.
So what happened when they called that number? What did they hear?
When they called that number, they heard a sort of lead-in where I was trying to walk them through very slowly the experience of how memories are triggered by senses. And at the very end, I asked them to tell me a memory. And I tried to make the question slow enough that so by the time they got to the beep, they weren't surprised and hung up. And actually, most people didn't hang up. Most people just started talking. And you could tell that a lot of people were surprised by the answer they gave by the end of it.
How many people took part in this? How many phone calls did you get?
I mean, last time I counted, it was about 600 people that left voicemails. So there's, you know, maybe 100 more that were super short and got cut off or hung up. But a much smaller percentage of people didn't leave answers than did.
Wow, 600 people. That's a lot.
Yeah. It was a lot to go through. I only got through, I think, 150 or so, and then I had to ask for help.
Well, we've got a small selection here, so let's hear a few of them. I mean, here's one of my favorites.
I live in Princeton, New Jersey, and the memory that I can remember was brought back to me when I went back to my parents' house one summer. And I remember pulling out a box, a shoebox underneath my desk that had postcards and trinkets from high school. And I noticed that there was the small bottle of perfume that my first girlfriend, my first kiss, my first love used to wear. There wasn't much left in the bottle, enough for maybe one more spray, but I opened the cap and the smell just filled me with a sucker punch to the stomach, basically. I just collapsed with the idea of remembering. And yeah, I didn't quite know what to do with myself. And I sat back, I leaned back, and I think I remained motionless while I was trying to remember. And I just stayed there. I just kind of stayed there. And I closed my eyes, and almost as though closing my eyes would keep that memory where it was. Almost as though my closing my eyes would make sure that it wouldn't go away. I know I gave my name and everything, but if you could please just put me as anonymous from Princeton, New Jersey, and don't include her name. Just make up a name. Awesome. I think this is a really cool idea. Good luck with you and your project.
Wow. So right away, that gives you such a taste of people share so much. They get intimate so fast. Did that surprise you?
It kind of did a little, but I think that there's probably a safety in the phone call. Like, we're so used to email and revealing ourselves, and something about calling this anonymous phone number. The thing that was fascinating to me about that one is that he said her name, and he said his own name, and you could tell he wasn't expecting to tell that story, because at the end he's like, actually, can you delete this? Because I can't, you know, share that much.
Of course, they're not all so heartfelt. Some are just funny. Like,
yes.
I love this one about the guy who remembers, we should play it. The guy who remembers sitting in his mom's car.
It's the memory that it sort of always comes back to me. This is going to seem silly, but I have two brothers, and the memory is driving to soccer practice in my mother's red Volvo station wagon and sitting in the middle seat in between both of my brothers. And I am thrown back into that seat any time I smell either of my brother's farts. Now, I know that may seem like some sort of joke, but I assure you that is the truth. It's not as often that I spend time with them or see them as it was when I was a child. So, you know, every time I get the opportunity to smell one of my brother's farts, I really cherish it. thank you. Calling from New York, Brooklyn, but the memory comes from growing up in San Diego, California.
Yeah, that was just that was just hilarious.
Most of them actually don't end up being funny. Like, some of them end up being lighthearted, but they tend to go sort of more personal, and there's only a couple that are really, really funny that make you giggle. It's interesting. I was going to say, I guess the harder memories in print more strongly than the funny ones.
Huh. It strikes me some of the most memorable ones are kind of heartbreaking. They're memories of things smells I think people would probably rather forget. I'm thinking of the one you called green soap.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
It's the smell of green soap. Whenever I smell green soap, like I did last week, I flash back almost 50 years ago to when I was a child going to the dentist. From the ages 7 to 9, the dentist sexually molested me. So every time I'm around that green soap smell, I turn back into that frightened 7-year-old. And my heart pounds. My name is Suzanne, and I'm in the Washington, D.C. area.
Wow. The first time I heard that, that's when it hit me, how powerful your project is. I mean, these aren't just sweet or nice or funny scent memories. They're really primal.
Yeah.
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. I'm a person who's constantly tripping over my own past, and I feel like most people do it. Maybe they just don't do it nearly as consciously. And it may be that there are things that, you know, either we forget or try to forget, and some music or sense of smell will come and trip us, and we'll end up right back there.
Yeah, it's like getting ambushed by a smell.
Yeah, yes, exactly, exactly.
You know, a memory that maybe you don't even remember, know that you have, gets triggered completely out of the blue. Like there's another one called disorienting.
Mm-hmm.
The last strong memory I had that was triggered by a sense was a smell. And I walked into a room and smelled what I always assumed was carpet. Only it wasn't just carpet, it was a specific carpet sound. And I walked in, and I was transported back to my 5th grade classroom, which had the exact same carpet smell. And I was 11 years old again. And I looked around, and I looked for my friends, because I was there. It was really disorienting, actually. So, but yes, it was a smell. It was the smell of carpet.
Does it make you feel different if you're, I don't know, you're out and about and you're in a crowd? Do you look around at other people and think, each one of these people has a story?
Yes. Yes, entirely. That is a perfect description.
What I'm wondering is, do you feel differently about strangers, about being in the world now?
Yeah, I think I do. I think so much of us, you know, walking around as people, we're very, very guarded. And I think that we actually are all stories, that we're all walking around with these sort of beautiful and lavish internal narratives that we never really get a chance to say or externalize. So I think more than anything, it's exciting to know that there's a way to kind of unlock people and get them to start telling you those stories and to feel very strongly that everyone has these inside them.
The technology that surrounds us can so often we see it as dehumanizing in some way or another. And I just have to say, the thing I really love about your project is that you're taking this simple, everyday technology that we all use, and you're using it for these profoundly humanistic reasons. I mean, it feels like you figured out a way to create a gigantic art project with perfect strangers. I mean, make something beautiful together.
I'm so glad you think that. That's fantastic.
Can we end with one more?
Sure.
We have to end with the story of the girl on the escalator in Madrid. I love that one.
I love that one too.
My name is Heather, and I'm in Washington, D.C. When I was a senior in college, I spent about 3 months in Spain teaching English and working with a missionary family there. And it was 3 of the worst months of my life. I hated just about every minute, and I missed my family, and I missed my friends, and I missed my boyfriend, and I just felt so alone. And one day, I was riding the metro home, and as I was leaving the metro station, I got on the escalator behind this old woman, and she smelled exactly like my grandmother, who is one of the most important people in my life. And I almost cried standing there riding this escalator in the middle of Madrid because I felt so homesick and nostalgic, but at the same time, I felt so loved and safe. And as we got off the metro, I had to fight the deep urge to ask this complete stranger if I could hug her because to me, she smelled like love.
That's beautiful.
It's so good.
Can our listeners take part?
Yes. Yes, of course. I'd love for them to.
So what do we do?
All you would do is call the number, which is 415-857-0589.
Okay. And leave a message.
Yep.
Did you get it? 415-857-0589. We'll put your voicemails on our website at ttbook.org. Olga Nunez told Anne Strangechamps that she was so inspired by this project, she's writing an album based on it. You're listening to one of her songs right now. It's called Waiting For. You're pushing hard to make.